Now hear these words from the Hebrew scripture, which I have put here because this is the basis for the sermon today. If only you would tear open the heavens and come down. Mountains would quake before you like fire igniting brushwood or making water boil. If you would make your name known to your enemies, the nations would tremble in your presence. When you accomplished wonders beyond all of our expectations, when you came down, mountains quaked before you. From ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God but you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You look after those who gladly do right. They will praise you for your ways. But you were angry when we sinned. You hid yourself when we did wrong. We have all become like the unclean. All our righteous deeds are like a menstrual rag. All of us wither like a leaf. Our sins, like the wind, carry us away. No one calls on your name. No one bothers to hold on to you. For you have hidden yourself from us and have handed us over to our sin. But now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. All of us are the work of your hand. Don't rage so fiercely, Lord. Don't hold our sins against us forever. But gaze now on your people, all of us, for the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Tear open the heavens and come down. That little word woke you all up, didn't it? Besides hitting that. But the Israelites are saying to God, tear open the heavens. These Israelites were lamenting to God because, you see, they had been back in Jerusalem from exile in Babylon for maybe 20 years. And things were not going well. You heard their complaints. Their complaints that God had forgotten them. They said, tear open the heavens, God, and come down. Come down and make those mountains quake. Some of you have probably been in an earthquake and scared to death. But they wanted those mountains to quake. They wanted to see God and feel God's presence. They reminded God. They called God to the carpet. They said, God, you've done all these great things for us. Why now? Oh, we've sinned. And because we've sinned, you've forgotten us. They did not feel God's presence with them. But yet, remember this, they were praying to God. So even in their lament, even in their sorrowfulness, even in their anger at God, they still had hope that God would come down, or they would never have said this prayer. Tear open the heavens, O God, and come down. And then we have to look at our other reading from Mark, which really was not a very hopeful reading, I don't think. When I read that first, when I was working on this sermon today, I thought, ugh. Well, think about this. The context in which Mark sets for Jesus is the week before he is going to die. But Jesus is reminding his disciples of what is going to happen. A really sad thing. Jesus is going to be crucified. There's not much Advent joy there at all, is there? Looking forward to your friend dying. No. But Jesus reminds them that he will return. Jesus is talking about his second coming. I will come back. Fast forward 40 years or so, and Mark is writing down this story of Jesus talking to his disciples. But Mark is in a little bit different context. He's waited 40 years, and Jesus hasn't come back. The believers have waited 40 years, and they have not seen Jesus come back. The temple has been destroyed. The hearers of Mark's gospel are living under Roman occupation. But yet the words of Jesus are still heard. In verse 31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Mark has Jesus reminding the Jesus followers, even 40 years after Jesus' death, that Jesus will come again. We just don't know when. They didn't know when. Nobody knows the time that Jesus will return. Our context, 2,000 plus years have passed. Boy, do we have any hope that Jesus is going to come back again? But isn't that the basis of Christianity? That and a few other beliefs about this human divine person that we call Jesus. In a little bit, we're going to sing a hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. It's an Advent hymn. I want to put a caution to you when we sing this hymn. When this hymn was written in about 1710, it was originally written in Latin, and the words are, O Come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Consider our context today with what's going on between Israel and Hamas. This hymn is not about the country of Israel in 2023. Israel in this hymn is all the followers of Jesus. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the child of God appear. We are living in exile in this earth, on this earth. We're not in heaven. Our exile is here on earth. At least that is what the writer of this hymn is talking about. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. And yet, the last verse we're going to sing today at the end of the service is this. O come, O shoot of Jesse, free your own from Satan's tyranny. From the depths of hell your people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. That's the thought that I want you to remember today when we sing that hymn, that we still have hope. This O come, Emmanuel, we would not be singing it if we did not have that hope that Jesus was going to come again. But there's something else I want to remind you of, that while we may be in bondage to sin, we also can have hope in this life that we have been freed because Jesus has ransomed us. We are celebrating communion today, which is an act of remembering what Jesus has done for us. If Jesus has ransomed us already, and we are free from Satan's clutches, we are free to live our lives according to the example that Jesus set. So we have hope. We have hope for eternity, to live with God, for God will tear open those heavens. I don't know if I have too much more to tear on there, but God will tear open those heavens. God tore open those heavens when Jesus came, and God will do it again. God will break that veil that keeps God from humanity, and we are God's children. We have always been God's children. So remember that as you go about this week. Go about with the hope in your spirit. Even when things are rough, when a day at work you have a coworker who aggravates the heck out of you, or maybe a family member who is ill, or maybe you yourself are ill. Remember that Jesus came to bring hope. We can fill ourselves with hope even in the midst of turmoil. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, until the Son of God appears. Amen. Now it's time for prayer requests. So do any of you have prayer requests?